Well, good morning. The projector name this morning is I Love My Church, number two. We're talking about community. And the aim is to help people identify the important role community has to play and the subtle ways that we sabotage it. The key verse, if you want to get ready, I'll be reading it out in a minute, it was Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 25. Now, please stay around afterwards because we're going to have a community mingling time out there in the world. We're going to have a special morning tea that has been beautifully prepared for this morning by a lady called Catherine Lee. Now, this week I sent out an email saying that there was another person that was helping with a thing called Kathleen Lee. Now, I really dislike getting names wrong in emails, and I did it. And I made a public apology. So Catherine Lee, she's another person in our congregation who, I'll honour her. Is she in the here this morning or is she out in the well? She's probably out in the well. No? Colin, her husband is up the back. Wave, Colin. We'll honour you too. She came in a couple of weeks ago, just as we're about to start I Love My Church. And we were having a prayer meeting for the staff, having a staff meeting, and she walks in with three trays of different kinds of macaroons. Spearmint, chai tea, or chai latte, and peanut butter. I've never been a macaroon person, but I am now. I always wonder why Sally always chose the little tiny ones when I had the big cake, you know. They are beautiful. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you that if you're ever driving past the church, you are more than welcome to pop in with anything that you're good at making and bless the staff. Amen? Do I get an amen?
Amen.
You're not staff. What are you saying amen for? Okay, so thank you, Catherine Lee. Okay, also, I love my T-shirt. The next slide. You've got the, at the back, there's a board like that, as Craig's already spoken into. Order the T-shirts. We're 80 years old. The church is 80 years old this year, and there's a couple of logos on there celebrating. On all the back of the T-shirts, it will have established 1936. Okay? So we're celebrating, and it's just a way of saying, I love my church, and it's amazing when you hear people say that, I love my church. When I hear people say, I love my church, and they're from other churches, I always go, wow, what do you love about it? Why do you say that? And it just opens up a conversation. If you ever said to someone that was walking down the road, or you didn't even know them, or a friend, said, oh, I love my church, I can guarantee you they won't look at you funny, they won't bag you out, they will want to honestly know what is it that you love about church. Try it. Just say to someone, oh, I love my church. Just say it. And if you're visiting here from other churches, I want you to take this message back to your churches because we're talking about the church. I love my church. Okay, also, I'd like to encourage you to, I send out via email Connect Group notes. Now, I am doing this in the next 4 or 5 weeks. And if you don't have an email, I've got a whole bunch of these printed up on the back table up there. So you can take one of these each week with you and go through it with your Connect Group groups or just by yourself if you're not connected. If you aren't connected, please, Sunday night here at 6 o'clock, I'm running a Connect Group for those that aren't connected. And we had our first one last week. You're more than welcome to come this week. It's really good. And yeah, just get connected, okay? And then this morning, obviously, the morning tea. So, joke time. Someone said to me, I haven't said a joke for the last couple of weeks, so sorry. So, why did the cow go all the way around the fence? To get to the other side. Oh, my goodness. To get to the other side. Boo? Did I hear a boo? Good eye behind the fence. Sure, you saw. I'm just gonna. Fences, they come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? Some are short, some are small, some are transparent, others are walls, and some of them are fortresses. In every case, what is a fence designed to do? It's to keep someone in or someone out. The first ever house that I rented was with a bunch of guys, and we lived in Cloverdale. We rented this house in Cloverdale, and there was this. It was in Belinda Ave in Cloverdale, if anyone knows where that is. But down that street, it must have been all retirees, because their front lawns and gardens were absolutely pristine. You know, we came across this house that we wanted to rent, and it was a rented house. It was like it was a bomb going off. So I said to the guys, I said, one thing we're going to do, we're going to do up, water the lawn and make it like the front of the house, so like the front of the streets, keep everyone happy. And we did that, and it was great. However, and there's a fence all the way around it, and we had a big fence on either side. But when you went around the back, when you ran around to the back of the house, you know, there were four guys. We're all into mechanics and motorbikes and stuff, and we had a big, the yard was about as big as this here. We had three big dogs. Big dogs, big doo-doos, four guys not wanting to pick up doo-doos, so you never ventured very far down the back. Grass was about this long, that long, all over the shop, never got touched. There was a big table in the back that we didn't, it was just left there. And then on one night coming home, we're about 2 kilometres from home, we're walking down and we thought there was a verge side pickup, and there were these big bench seats, big cement bench seats. And we picked them up and carried them. I remember they were so heavy. And then we got to 800 metres from the house and we saw another one. So the other guys picked them up too. So we had these two massive big cement bench seats that we thought they were roadside, curbside pickup. In the morning when we woke up and there was daylight, they had MTT bus shelter stops on them. They're probably still in the backyard because they don't want to move. You need a crane to move them. There's a lot of other things in our backyard. A lot of things that I wouldn't want you to want to tell you or want other people to see. The fence was the separation between the two spaces. It was a barrier between the front, which everyone was allowed to see, and the back where we lived. And thank you, Rod Padgett, for knocking up this fence for me. I wanted a fence because I'm talking about fences today, and he knocked this up, and it's brilliant. It's strong, it's sturdy. As we continue our series, I Love My Church, and this concept is going to play a big part in what we'll see today and one of God's plans for the church, that we'd live connected lives together. God wants us to live connected with Him and connected with one another. God wants us to know true community. So what do fences have to do with that? Well, what we're going to talk about is exactly this. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. Now if you are new in church, if you are a new Christian and you're trying to work things out, I'm going to read a bit of passage now which may freak you out. Okay, people that have been Christians for a long time will look at this and go, oh, yeah, I get it. Now, the reason why I say that is that there's a lot of things like the blood of Jesus, the flesh, and the priest over the house of God, and evil conscience. I'm going to be speaking all these words in this passage. But the great thing about the Word of God is that if you don't understand a passage, please get a concordance or get a study Bible and study it, because it's amazing literature. You'll understand. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is a habit of some. I love that part. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, before I unpack this, let's go back to our fence. What we're comfortable showing people and letting people know about us is our front lawn, aren't we? I mean, who got up this morning and slapped some makeup on and put some lippy on? Craig, put a black shirt on. You know, isn't that true? We're careful with our front. And we try to keep it pristine. Nicely manicured, beautiful grass, a nice welcome mat at the front of the door for decorative purposes only. The front yard is what people see. But the backyard, you can't see what's down here, can you? That's the real us. And getting in there is by invite only. In fact, I'm going to build a fence because I'm not sure I want you to know everything that's going on with the real me. I don't want you to see parts of my life that aren't so pristine. I don't want you to step on the dog doo-doo at the back. I'm not sure if we can have a real meal together. My backyard is very private. The backyard is me. The real me. The real you. Everything in the front of the house is perfectly presented, but the back of the house, behind this fence, is where the true resides. Our us true. This is the yard of our lives. Some of us hide our real selves. You've heard of pride before we fall. Some of us don't allow people to enter into our lives. Did you hear about this week about the AFL footballer, a very famous AFL footballer? I'm not going to go into what he did or what's happened, but he did declare publicly that he's been suffering depression for 4 years. Now, this guy's a public figure. He's on the TV, and you wouldn't know because of this. There are a lot of people, even in church today, that are going around with this. And the sad thing is that they're not allowing people into their backyard to help them with the things that they are going through. Here's the deal about fences. God is not a big fan of them. Okay, he doesn't have a problem with us having a literal fence around our houses, and please don't leave here today and go and knock down your fence. But as far as being in a relationship with him and being in community with each other, God wants us to rethink our fences. If we intend to love the church the way God wants us to, then we have to, number one, in your outline, know that Jesus crashed the fence. Know that Jesus crashed the fence. Now, before we even talk about the fence that we put between us and people, we have to realize the barrier that exists between God and us. The first part of our Hebrews passage tells us in verses 19 to 22, "Therefore, brethren, since we have the confidence to enter in the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have the great priest over the house, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." This is a great passage. For those who don't know, before Christ came along, you had to enter the high priest. If you had sins, you'd go and burn, you'd go and take your cow and your calf and whatever else, and you'd throw it at the high priest and they'd burn it. Then the high priest, they'd tie a rope around him and he'd enter into the holies of holies where God was and where the presence of God was and offer these burnt offerings. But when Jesus died, there was a big veil. And when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn. And we can now enter into a place of relationship with the God Almighty himself through Jesus Christ. We don't have to have any priest or pastor or anything to go to and say, oh, please forgive my sins. No, you can go direct to him. That's exciting, isn't it? No matter where you are, 24/7, you have a special access to God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Not only that, you've got the Holy Spirit with you, always guiding you. That's exciting. And if you want that, if you have never had that experience, I'm going to ask you at the end of the service, I want to pray with you. If you really want to be excited as I am and jump up and down and be excited about the Lord, because he can transform anything, anyone, anytime, any place. Amen? Okay, so the author here is talking about the fact because of Jesus, we now have a way to come back to God. Because Jesus is our great high priest that has crashed the fence, the veil separating us from God. We're able to confidently draw near to him, crashing the fence as easily as admitting as we need him. We can't live life on our own. We'll never make it into the presence with a fence separating us. Yeah. Now the Romans, the book of Romans letter gives us more details behind the Hebrews passage. And I want you to, one at a time, please. Romans 3:23. Okay, not one at a time. All right, Romans 3:23, it says, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard." You see, we all have a giant fence. Each and every one of us does. Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Because of that fence, we'll never get to God. Romans 5:8, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." God knew that we had a big fence before we even had a yard. Romans 10:9-10. It says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." You see, if we just admit that we have a fence and we need it torn down, Jesus Christ will crash that fence for us. And Romans 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." God never denies a fence crashing job. Ever. Ever. See, we're born building fences, walls, structures, designed to hide, to protect, to confine who we really are, to keep us separated from God. We're born into sin. Our first fence. It keeps us from true community with him. And it's only when we admit our failing, realize and accept Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross, that he has crashed the fence for us. Have you ever drawn near to God? Have you really drawn near to God? Have you said the sinner's prayer and then said, "God, there it is. That's all you're going to get from me." Have you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as Lord of your whole life? Have you ever acknowledged what Jesus has done on the cross and allowed him to enter into your life? All of it, the front and the back. Many just allow him in the front, not knowing that he is in the back anyway. It was well made. Realize that the barrier between you and Jesus has been crashed by him on the cross. Surrender your life to him. Draw near to him in a relationship. And also close to him in his community, the church. Brothers and sisters of believers. Number two. Allow others into your yard. We come into this building and we sing songs and we play games and with children and sometimes we eat and we smile and we say good morning, but we do it all from behind the fence. You might be thinking, but I thought you just said Jesus broke down the fence. Well, for every single one of us, Jesus has broken down the fence and made it possible for us to be in a relationship with God. But how does that impact us as people? People meaning us, plural, as a community of believers. And community of believers is not just this church. It's also Hillside Christian College. It's also Wallridge Country Estate. It's everything that this church, Hillside, is. Imagine all of mankind standing before the fence of sin and it just tumbling down when Jesus died on the cross. So when I draw near to God, I become his follower. There's not a fence anymore. And when you draw near to God to become his follower, there's not a fence anymore. Which means there is no fence in existence in the community of God. True? There shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. But what we do, we start picking up the pieces of wood. Craig, can I ask you to get your hand here, please? What we do, we slowly put back together. We start building up over here, mate. Yeah, over that one. You've marked my fence. But what we do, we start building our own fence and we allow others to help us do that. Bit by bit. We get the people that we know that will help us build up the fence and we'll get them to do it. Thanks, guys. You've just built up my fence again. Good mates. But that's what we do in Christian circles and in the church. Even though Jesus has crashed the fence, we still want people to see only the pretty parts in our yard. We don't want them to see our dirty laundry, our hanging on the clothesline in our backyard. We keep building those walls. We keep very careful tabs on our parts of our estate that people are allowed to walk in. We are so good at building fences. And especially, I've been praying about this. You go back into the book of Acts and you look at the community of people that were there. They were meeting day and night. They were together. They just have feeding together. They went out and saved souls and all that, which was great. But they communed together. They protected one another. They were there for one another. And you know what? I believe the biggest lie that the church has taken on is from the world today. Don't let anyone know that you're weak, because weak's not cool. It's rubbish. Was Jesus weak? And he's cool. That's not loving, that's not loving. And it's not loving our building or loving our programs. If we intentionally love the church, that means loving each other. And loving each other is impossible to do from behind the fence. So what do we do with the fences that all of us have erected, myself included? It's hard to truly know how to love each other, but thank goodness Paul gives us a perfect prescription. He says, do not forsake assembling together. Now, this passage preachers have used for years to guilt the congregations into coming to Sunday service every week. But in reality, the author was talking about something a lot bigger than that. Sunday, yes, but also something a lot more than just Sunday. He's talking about everyday assembling. He's talking about life together. He's talking about living in communities. Community, we don't build fences. Community means we head below the surface. Community means authenticity and sharing ourselves with others in deeper relationships that we can have sitting in our chairs or in a large room or doing something while I speak to you this morning. This, people, is not community. You come in here and you sit down and you listen to me. That is not community. Afterwards, when you go and have a cup of coffee and you get into your little groups, is that community? Yes. Community, living in community, is looking outwardly, not inwardly. It's looking at a brother or sister across the room and going, gee, I've got a word for that person. Oh, I'm not going to embarrass myself with that word. If God has given you a word or said, go up to that person and just pray for them, do it. Because that's the Holy Spirit telling you to do it. And by Jove, you don't want to upset the Holy Spirit. Because I tell you what, if you do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do and you keep on doing what the Holy Spirit keeps on asking you to do, you just wait what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life. Amen. It's exciting stuff. Yeah. Community means standing in someone else's yard and allowing them to stand in mine. Both of our dirty, stinking, unkept yards with all the toys and all the dog doo-doos, all the weeds not pulled up and the shed that desperately needs painting. Come in. You may not remember the television series Home Improvement with Tim Allen. Some of you may laugh, but that was in 1991 when it came out. That's 25 years ago. Some of you people weren't even born 25 years ago. That's scary, isn't it? Just seems like yesterday. Tim Allen's family, next door neighbour, was named Wilson. And nearly the entire series, we never saw Wilson's whole face or body. The tailors, not the tailors in this congregation, but the tailors, Tim the tool man Taylor, hey? You've heard that before, Tim? Hey, Tim the tool man, yeah. All right. It's not on my notes here either, so it's good. Thank you, Lord. That's good. Tim, by the way, is a carpenter. He's in our community and he's a carpenter. That's the guy that's come back from Brazil. He's a carpenter. So anyone needs a fence built? Who's that? Who's that? $50 missions. Well, I'll tell you what, our missions is getting up there now. So please, and don't be fooled. I can sit down there and I can press a number of your phones. I have your phone numbers. Sometimes it's like that for our church folks. We sit in the pews with people. We serve on our committees together. We may even enjoy Bible study with one another, but we never see someone's whole face. We only get a glimpse of them behind the fences. James Doe is standing on the other side of this fence right now. Maybe we just see his face. Maybe we don't. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there's still a fence between us. I can't embrace him in a tragedy. When tragedy hits his family, I can't see what's happening over the fence when I hear them arguing with his wife. This fence impedes our community. We have to get into the yard and fully know someone. Have a relationship. You know, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have God in us. We are his vessel. We are his ambassadors. What are we doing with our lives? How many people do you know are really hurting, or you just want to know? You know when you go past someone and you go, oh, I better not ask them how they're doing because I'll get a half an hour of... We all know people like that, don't we? My challenge to you is to don't think of yourself, think of them. And if they keep going on and on and on, I wonder why they keep going on and on. Because they go rah, 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 and people just go, oh, yeah, great, yeah, we'll pray for you. Best thing to do if someone's in strife or going through trouble, don't say you're going to pray for them, because half the time you don't. Pray for them right then and there. Yeah. I love going out into the well out here after church and seeing people laying hands on people and praying for them, because they've just opened up over a cup of coffee. They've gone, oh, yeah, but I've had a bad... Well, let's pray for you. And see the power of prayer operate in the church. This fence impedes our community. We have to get into the yard and fully know someone. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10:25. Whose yard are you in? Who are you allowing into your yard? Maybe this takes place with your Sunday school, connect groups, Bible studies, men's ministry, women's ministry. Maybe you're part of any of these groups. You know, we've got a lot of groups here within the Hillside organisation. You can actually get involved in the Darling Range High School. Jason Armstrong gave me a call the other day, and I'll get him to speak in the next couple of weeks. But he's wanting people to go and just mentor and sit down with young kids. So if you've got a spare afternoon or something to do that, to sit down with some of these kids, do it. I'm sure the Hillside Christian School would love to see you. There's groups, there's ministries happening here within the church. There's Woolridge Country Estate. You know, there's a lot of lonely elderly people in the village. And it breaks my heart. We are in community. Why not stick around after to mingle a bit? You know, there's people that come here on a Sunday morning, and as soon as the worship's finished, boom, they're gone. I challenge you, if you're one of those people, hang around. Hang around and mingle. You might say, oh, but no one comes up to me. I'm going to address that in a minute. Make sure you're being sensitive to the introverts too, okay? We do have introverts. Not all Christians are extroverts. There are a lot of introverts. If we're truly going to experience not only what the church should be, but as life God intended it to, then we cannot live behind the fence. To truly love your church is to have someone in your church. That doesn't mean that everyone transformed to SSEs. You know what SSEs are, don't you, guys? Super social extroverts, okay? That means that we don't live in isolation. What it means that we don't have to live in isolation. Community is standing in someone's yard. It means to stand in someone else's yard. And you, number three, enjoy the company. Imagine being going to a birthday party, okay? And the host didn't plan anything. Could you imagine going to that? There was only a plain bag of potato chips on the table and some weak cordial, and that's it. No games, no desserts, no lollies, no face painting, no pin the tail on the donkey, nothing. That would be one boring, dull party, wouldn't it? You would leave that place thinking that they didn't even try. Hebrews says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. To consider, that's what the party would be like. To consider is to contemplate, is to strategize. Think of it as planning for a successful birthday party. Living life in another's yard, also without fences, is going to take not only intentionally, but also strategy. It's going to take strategy to do so. Community is finding ways to encourage one another to love and good deeds beyond church programming and sermons. I can lead you to water, but you have to bend down and drink the water. It's seeing beyond the walls and the fences that have been built and offering to help paint the shed or pull the weeds or babysit the kids. It's bringing meals at a time of crisis. It's having a go-to numbers in your phone book when you break down on the highway. My daughter this week had her first car accident, and the first person she rang was her boyfriend, not her dad. Phew. She's a good girl. She blew the tyre and Mark had to go and change the tyre while trucks were going down Great Eastern Highway. Thought, yeah, better you than me. Praise Jesus. But it's true. That's community. Do you have someone in your phone book? If the power goes out or someone that you can ring in your church and say, hey, I need a hand. Do you? I hope you do. I really hope you do. Or if you know that someone lives alone or someone like that, how about you go to them and say, hey, if you ever need anything, give me a call 24/7 and I can arrange and help you. It's knowing who to call when you want to go on a double date. It's inviting someone over for dinner, an afternoon tea. It's teaming up when we have church service project and working alongside friends. It's enjoying one another and helping each other to enjoy serving Jesus in a time when we have left to serve, according to the Hebrews. And the thing is, these things don't happen automatically. They happen when we consider how to make them happen. And let me suggest just a few points of strategy here as a church family. Number one, I'll quickly go through these. Have healthy expectations. Okay? Have healthy expectations. An unhealthy expectation is that we will all know everyone and that every single person we will be all best friends with everyone here. That's not realistic. That's stupidity. A healthy expectation is that I can build some great connections throughout the family, great friendships with some deep relationship with others, and this will take time. But we have to have a healthy goal in mind. Realize that baby steps are okay. Let's be clear here. Living without fences doesn't mean that you are going to let every single person into the more personal parts of your life the first day that you meet. That's not the goal in any sense. At first, we'll be hanging out in the front yard. May even be just in the driveway, then the front yard, then the front door, then in the living room. And then over time, hey, come into my backyard. It will take time and that's okay. You won't let everyone in, but you'll need to work toward letting someone at this point. Can I have the music team up here, please? That's the music team. Take some ownership. Another one is take some ownership. Realize that this is everyone's job, not everyone else's job. We all need to work at it. If you're sitting down waiting for everyone to come to you, then you're sitting in the wrong spot. On a scale of 1 to 10, with one being the lowest and the 10 being the highest, how much effort are you putting into connecting with others? How much effort? You know, I've heard some people come to me and say, gee, this church is really, really welcoming. And I've heard other people say, gee, this church is really, really cliquey. I've been coming here for a few months and no one has said hello to me. That is sad on this side, and it is also sad on that side as well. There has to be a medium where people are always looking out for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And also, if you're new in a church, not Hillside Church, but a church, Jesus Christ, you have got to be part of the community. You have to take a step forward. And I know that's hard for some introverts. It's very hard. But you know what? Stop listening to the lies the enemy is saying, that, oh, you're no good. Oh, I'm too fat. Oh, I won't be accepted because I'm a bit strange. You know what? We're all weird. All Christians are weird in this world. Let's be weird together. And you know what? Some of that weirdness might rub off on one another. How much effort are you putting into connecting with others? What would you need to do to raise that number by one or two levels over the next week? As we leave this morning, love your church. Love your brothers and sisters. Know that Jesus has crashed the fence. Allow someone into your yard. Enjoy the company. Start considering how you can be connected with others for encouragement and growth. You know, we have a connect group running here at 6 o'clock tonight. Come along. If you're not connected, come along. And if you're coming along tonight, bring a little plate or something. Because Sally's not with me today and I can't cook as good as what she can. So bring a plate to share. I like... No, it's all right. Enough said. I hope you understand the heart of God when we talk about community. You know, Jesus came, he died on the cross for our sins, for this fence to be destroyed. And there are people out there hurting every day because they don't have anyone to talk to. And I'm not talking about people in the community. I'm talking about people in the church. And that breaks my heart. It breaks God's heart. Because that's not the church that he intended it to be. You know, it's okay that there are people that you probably would never even imagine, think of inviting over or even talking to. You probably think, oh, a bit strange, that person. But you know what? If I had that mentality, I wouldn't have good friends. But sometimes the weirder they are, the more lovable they are. Get to know people. Get out. Break down. Get behind. Get in front of your fence. The fence that's not there. The enemy has put it. God hasn't put it. He's crashed it. There's no fence. Let's sing. Stand, does everyone stand? If you...